Pastor Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the time of truth.
I'm in Ezekiel chapter 18 is where I'm going to take my text this morning. I was just going to read a verse or two, but I think I need to do a lot more reading. I'm going to read 18 verses. That's a lot of reading for me. Ezekiel 18, and I'm going to read 18 verses. If you never paid attention to a message in your life, I hope you'll listen today. This may be my one shot. If you're here and you're unsaved, I would to God that you'd leave this building today knowing for sure that you're born again. If you found Ezekiel 18, shout amen for me. Amen. Notice verse 1, whose word this is. The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, what mean ye that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, saith the Lord God, ye shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. I'm preaching on the severity of sin. But if a man be just and do that which is lawful and right, and hath not eaten up on the mountains, neither hath lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, neither hath defiled his neighbor's wife, neither hath come near to a menstruous woman, hath not oppressed any, but hath restored to the debtor his pledge, hath spoiled none by violence, hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with a garment, he that hath not given forth upon usury, neither hath taken any increase, that hath withdrawn his hand from iniquity, hath executed true judgment between man and man, hath walked in my statutes, and hath kept my judgments to deal truly, he is just, he shall surely live, saith the Lord God. If he beget a son that is a robber, a shedder of blood, that doth like to any of these things, and that doth not any of those duties, but even hath eaten up on the mountains, and defiled his neighbor's wife, hath oppressed the poor and needy, hath spoiled by violence, hath not restored the pledge, and hath lifted up his eyes to the idols, and hath committed abomination, hath given forth upon usury, hath taken increase, shall he then live? He shall not live. He hath done all these abominations. He shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him. Now, lo, if he beget a son that seeth all his father's sins, which he hath done, and considereth and doeth not such like, that hath not eaten upon the mountains, neither hath lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, hath not defiled his neighbor's wife, neither hath oppressed any, hath not withholden the pledge, neither hath spoiled by violence, but hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with a garment, that hath taken off his hand from the poor, that hath not received usury nor increase, hath executed my judgment, hath walked in my statutes, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father, he shall surely live. As for his father, because he cruelly oppressed, spoiled his brother by violence, and did that which is not good among his people, lo, even he shall die in his iniquity. Father, I thank you for this day and for these that have come out today. God, I can't do a thing without you this morning. You know my inabilities. God, you know my unworthiness. You know who I am. God, but I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And I pray, Lord, today that you would fill my mouth and guard my tongue. You'd preach me to the glory of God the Father. I'm praying if there's a lost soul, they'd be saved. I'm praying, God, that the saint of God would get out of the sinning business. I'm praying, God, that we'd check ourselves today. I'm preaching to myself. I'm preaching to the world. I'm preaching to our congregation. Lord, it's thus saith the Lord God Almighty. Lord, our opinions matter not. But Lord, it's what your book says. It's forever and eternal. Help me today, Lord. Do your work for your glory. I ask it in King Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen. The most unpopular topic in the world today probably is this of sin. Ezekiel's speaking to a people that are in captivity here. But what the people are doing in captivity is they're blaming the generation prior to them for the position that they're in now. God always gives an opportunity for repentance and reconciliation. But what they said is the father eat the sour grapes and it's caused our teeth to be on edge. It's bothered us because somebody else done it. Then it's affected me the way that I am right now. I'm the way I am because of someone else. I'm going to blame it on them because it makes me look better. Ezekiel's telling them, hey, listen, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Sin is universal. Sin is universal. Sin is universal. Death will come to each and every one under the sound of my voice today. The evidence is about a half a mile this way and a half a mile that way. There's a cemetery in each place. Sin is come. What it does is destroys mankind. Sin is the enemy. You can't spell sin without I. I is right in the middle of sin. Sin's the problem. You can blame it on somebody else. You can blame it on the government. You can blame it on your denomination. You can blame it on your preacher. You can blame it on your family. But when it comes right down to it, just like sin is universal, sin is individual. The problem is this, that I will have to deal with sin, and you will have to deal with sin, and sin is the problem. Sin is going to do this. It's done it from the beginning. Sin is the great separator. It kills us. It kills things about us. Sin is the problem. I want you to know, young, old, and in between, your problem is sin. Amen. Moses said, be sure your sin will find you out. It'll run you down. It'll come where you are. I want us to understand something about the severity of sin today. As an introduction today, I want to define sin from the Word of God. Sin in the original language, whether it's in the Greek or the Hebrew, if you run the root word down in the original language in which this Word of God was given to us, here's what you're going to find that defines sin. It is to miss the mark. It is to miss the mark. Well, that don't sound too bad. It don't until you find out what the mark is. The mark is the perfection of God. God is holy. He is perfect. He is sovereign. He is most high. So when we sin, what we do is we miss the mark of perfection. Now I know Jesus said in Matthew, he said, be ye perfect. But when he's speaking of perfection there, it doesn't mean the perfection of God. What it's referring to is the full adulthood of a man or woman that has grown into maturity
in the will and the work of the Lord. It's what he's referring to be perfect. He done the Father's will. You see the picture? That's what he's not willing that any should perish. All should come to repentance. This thing started out this morning with Jesus saves. We got sin in Sunday school. They sing about the blood in the songs today. And God's still saving old sinners. He can't save somebody unless they're lost. Being as good as anyone else, you'll die and go to hell. Amen. It's when you're broken in your sin, you see yourself before a holy, sovereign God, and you're like the little boy in the cookie jar. You know you've been caught, and all you can do is say, I'm sorry. When you get with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, then God can save you. Amen. Godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation. It's not a hope so I'm gonna just turn over a new leaf. No, you'd still be the same leaf. Sin in the original language means to miss the mark. I want us to consider the origin of sin. If we to find out where sin began, it began in heaven. Sin began in heaven. When you go to Isaiah 14, don't go there, but you can later. You go to Isaiah 14, you go to Ezekiel 28. It's speaking of an earthly king. It has a twofold meaning, but it's pointing to Lucifer. How art thou fallen, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Hey, he was the anointed cherub according to Ezekiel 28. He was close in the regiment of God. He had created him and placed him in an upper position, I believe, maybe with Michael and Gabriel. He was up there. He led the choir. He was the light. He done a lot of things. That's why you better be careful about the music you listen to today. Everything that calls itself Christian is not so. When they begin to exclude the blood and the cross and the sovereignty of God and salvation through Christ alone, friend, them songs don't do much for me. The origin of sin, it began in heaven. Satan said, I will exalt myself above the throne of God. And the Lord said, no, you won't. Jesus said in Luke 10, 18, he said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He was there when he was cast out. He knew what occurred and he was cast out. But when he come down, God gave him power over this earth. He is the God of this world. He's the prince and the power of the air. And friend, he plays. Your mind is his battlefield. Amen. Amen. Some would say, Satan can't speak to my mind. Listen, how many people in here got a cell phone? Let me ask you, how many people don't have a cell phone? Briar, you don't have one? God bless you, son. You can go anywhere in the world with a click of a button. You can look at someone on the other side of the world and talk to them. You can hear things, pull up information. I ask Siri to spell stuff all the time. If that being given power unto man, how much more power does the devil have to communicate with you, to block your mind, your thoughts, to put things in there? Do you think, where did that come from? Huh? How did the origin, it began in heaven. God kicked him out. He came to the earth. I've got to go on. I want us to consider this the occasion of sin. You'll find it in Genesis 3 and 6. You're going to find it where the devil, the serpent, had come. Being the devil, the dragon, we know who it is. It's described throughout the book. And when we come to the occasion of sin, what is that? That is when the devil come to Eve and said, you shall not surely die. And Eve saw that the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was good for food. And she did take and she gave it to her husband Adam. And Adam did eat. I want you to notice there, it was a husband and a wife.
It was a husband and a wife. That's what God ordained from the beginning. He changes not. He hadn't tripped up, decided it ought to be two men or two women or three or four together or what. He hadn't changed his mind none. It's still a man and a woman. That's the only way you can get a baby. Amen. I guess our visitors have figured out by now I'm not politically correct. I want to be scripturally correct. I want to be accurate in the scripture. And if I'm preaching something today that you can find ought against or where I've been wrong, I'll stand before the congregation and say I made a mistake and I'll correct it. But there's an occasion to sin. That thing hasn't changed any. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Amen. You know what you call that? S-I-N. The occasion of sin hasn't gone away. Oh, it's very prevalent today. I want us to consider this. And because of that, here's the severity of it. Here's the outcome. Romans 5 and 12, wherefore by as one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All have sinned. Paul said in Romans, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. You know, the place I preached yesterday had several law enforcement personnel down there, a state trooper, a detective, an investigator, some city policemen from Cookeville. They were all there at that men's thing yesterday, and they're still suffering from the things that they seen within that. Said, seeing a hoodlum out here that shot each other wasn't real bad, but when you see babies dead on the ground, that don't seem like it ought to be, Brother Gordon. You know why that happened? S-I-N. Amen. There's no sin. There's no storm. There's no storm. The families are good. But wherefore, as by one man, Adam. Now, Eve was in the transgression, but God had spoke it to Adam. Daddies, we better be the head. It's time for men to be the head. We better be the head. He had spoke it to the man. Still with me? The occasion to sin. You're not going to get to Cracker Barrel by 12 o'clock today unless you just walk out. If you do, you won't hurt my feelings. Go ahead on. There's three things concerning this. I was going to preach two, but I need three. Concerning the severity of sin. The outcome after the origin of it, it boils down to this, that's why we die. That's why so many times I've rolled some of my friends and family right here. And at the end of the service, I've stood here at the head of the coffin. And the families and friends have come by in review and wept, and we've been brokenhearted. And we've been sorrowful. And say, well, you shouldn't call them sinners, preacher. That's why they died. That's why I'll die. That's why you'll die. I was praying for these boys last night. You girls will be on my list next. But I just had the boys on my heart. I thought, oh, my God. What's my boys going to face? Old coal man. Carter and Bryce and Jared and Bray. Parker, Kate. I don't know where Abe's at, but somehow he made the list too. What are they looking at? What are they going to face? The severity of sin. You see, the coronavirus is just the tip of the iceberg, friend. And I know they'll say, oh, you crazy preachers. You're preaching doom and gloom. No, I'm preaching the rapture of the church. You better get in the boat, friend. This thing's going to close down. And you think coronavirus is bad. You know why they're fighting that thing today? S-I-N. I want us to consider quickly today the practice of sin. Saved and lost alike. Do we have, under the practice of sin, number one, do we have the ability to sin? James said it like this, let me get the number so I'll be accurate, 4:17. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is
sin.
Oh, we have the ability. We have the ability. 1 John 1:8 says this, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Do we have the ability to sin? I'm afraid so. Here's the problem, though. It's the acceptance of sin. It's the acceptance of sin. One of my deacons told me this morning that at Disney, you can't hardly buy nothing without seeing the rainbow attached to it. You know what that represents? Queer land. So you shouldn't call it that, preacher. Well, that, so they can call it that, but I can't. Queer means strange or odd. I'm just going to tell you, you got two roosters trying to make an egg, you got something strange going on. I don't like that. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm trying to be real. I'm preaching about S-I-N. It's not popular. I'm not in a contest. I'm not running for office. If you fire me, God will open my door somewhere. I've got plenty of places to preach. Listen, it is not popular. People hate this kind of preaching. They detest people like me. I'm the best friend they got. I'm telling them, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And I don't say that happily. I say that with brokenness. You know, it's but by the grace of God, Danny White, that that's not me. What if I hadn't had a parent that loved me, a daddy that loved me, showed me natural affection, a mama that showed me natural affection, and I've seen the affection between my mama and daddy. You know what? I might be in the same boat they're in, but blessed be the name of God. Hey, they showed me the right and the straight way. The acceptance of sin, anything goes today. Say, hey, people are bad today. We're no different than they were in Judges. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. They just done what felt right. The practice of sin. It diminishes the power in the church. Listen, and I'm afraid I've been guilty. You can't do nothing about it. Well, we can do this. We don't have to condone it. Amen. And we certainly don't have to participate. Our young'uns need to see something in us that's different.
Amen.
You know how God's been checking me? Here's how he's been checking me of late. And this has worked better than when he checked me with myself, with my wife, or even my son or daughter-in-law. He checks me with little Bud. He said, hey, preacher. Now, God don't speak to me in an audible voice. This is the thought that comes to my mind, Brother Irvin. Hey, preacher, would you want little Bud exposed to that? And my thought is running to him and putting my hands over his ears and my arm around his eyes and holding him up in my chest and say, hey, son, you don't need to hear that. You don't need to see that. You don't need to say that. If we as a church got out of the sinning business, it'd be so powerful that sinners couldn't stand it in this congregation. They just come in and melt under the convicting power of God. I'm preaching to myself. The practice of sin. Oh, I'm afraid we're able. And I'm afraid we accept it. Now, I am not to this point. I got to go right here just a moment and I'll move on. I'm not to the place that I wouldn't go in a restaurant if they sell liquor, but they try to set me in the bar every time I walk through the door. Pat, testimony right there. They say, would you like to sit? I must look like a drunk. They say, would you like to sit at the bar? And I don't even get the answer. Pat, oh, quick on the draw. No! We'll sit somewhere else. We don't want to be at the bar. Got the picture? Don't guess you need a wine list. No. But Jesus eat with publicans and sinners. So nothing wrong with blessing the bread before you break it. Let them hear you pray. And thank the God in heaven who's put you at a table that's full of bread. And we can eat like hogs and leave a tip and get up and leave there feeling good about ourselves and people starving to death in another part of the world. We are a blessed people.
Amen.
The practice of sin, number two today, the penalty of it. The penalty of sin is always loss. The penalty of sin is always loss. It takes away. It diminishes. It destroys. I wish I recall the preacher's name in Florida that preached this year. He preached on Sunday night. We listened to it on the road. It might have been Monday morning when he preached. And he said, sin is never necessary. That's good. I told him, I said, I want to use that. He said, go ahead. I probably stole it from somebody else. I said, well, I wish I could recall his name. Sin is never necessary. The penalty of sin is always loss. I want to give you a few things today, saint of God, that you'll lose when you get caught up in sin. This is per Dr. Ryrie. Some of you may have a Ryrie study Bible. Some of you have read some of his notes. Here's per him. I got this out of Wilmington's. I'm going to read these fast. So if you're writing, you better be quick. Here's what a saint loses when he becomes involved in sin. First, he loses light. 1 John 1 and 6. He'll lose his joy. Psalm 51 and 12. He'll lose his peace. 1 John 3, 4 through 10. He'll lose his love. 1 John 2 and 5. He'll lose his fellowship. 1 John 1, 3, 6 and 7. He'll lose his confidence. 1 John 3, 19 through 22. He can and sometimes lose his life. 1 Corinthians 5 and 5. Paul had apostolic authority. I don't have that, nor does anyone else today. We have the Word of God and the Spirit of God. We do not have apostolic authority. That time has passed. We don't need it today. We have the Spirit and we have the Word, and He'll guide you in all truth. 1 Corinthians 5 and 7 said he had turned him over to Satan, a certain fellow that was caught up in adultery. You think adultery don't matter today? sex outside the covenant of marriage. He said, I'll turn them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, I'll let the devil kill you. You'll be saved so as by fire, but you'll die quick death in this life. 1 Corinthians 11:30 says this, because they've taken the supper unworthily. Now that doesn't, the supper's for the saved people. But they've got unconfessed sin, or they take this supper without the thought of whom it represents or what it's for. And he said, because of that, many are sick and many sleep. That means they died. Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Ghost and they dropped dead right there. Boom! What if God swept through our congregation this morning and said, everyone with an unconfessed sin, stand up or you'll die. You know, that's the penalty of sin. It's loss. And it can be severe. That's for the saint of God. Here's what the sinner loses: his eternal soul. Revelation 20 and 15 said, whosoever was found not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Might I add that prior to that, the bodies are resurrected. And it's not just a floating spirit that's cast off into there. God knows where every molecule is, every piece of dust, every piece of bone. And he'll raise it up one of these days.
Amen.
Study this out. Death and hell gave up the dead. How does death and hell give up the dead? One's spiritual, one's natural. They both gave them up. The penalty. I won't have to pay that, preacher. Oh, really? Then you're saying God's a liar. And the Bible says he cannot lie. It says he doesn't change. I've been waiting to get to this all since I've started. The practice of sin and the penalty of it. Practice is for the saved and the lost. Practice sin. We shouldn't. But the Bible says we do. He says if we confess it, though, he's faithful and just to forgive it. If we confess it. Can I ask you a personal question this morning? You don't have to answer me. Speak to your own heart. When's the last time you knelt down at a place and said, God, forgive me for that lie I told? Forgive me that my hard's heart toward my brother or my sister or my wife or my husband. Forgive me that I robbed my job when I didn't work after they paid me to do it. Forgive me for being unfaithful to my church after I joined. I said I'd be there and support it to the best of my ability. I said that before you, Lord. You preacher laid on the floor and confessed last night, confessed this morning. I'm sure I had some things that I left out. I'm no better than you are. I just get the letter and I try to bring it to you. If this church is going to grow and do things and many are satisfied just where we're at, I mean, you're comfortable, it's good, we have great music, we have a good facility, we have good dinners, great camp meeting, and when Randy or some of these other guys do it, we have good preaching, but we just have things, and that's as good. But look here, if we're not going forward, we're backing up. Somebody may watch this, and I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, But I've been places where if they don't get some of these sitting out in the front rows and then scattered out through the church, in the next while, in 5 years, their doors are closed. The doors will be closed. Us old gray-headed guy's going to die. We're leaving here. I like what Brother Kevin said in the prayer room concerning the visitation box. He said, and pray for the next generation. Practice of sin, the penalty of sin. I want us to consider the payment. I'll be just a few minutes on this, and you'll be out of here before 1 o'clock. We've sung about it all morning. What did I say missing the mark? What was the mark? Come on, somebody remember, surely. It wasn't 10 minutes ago. I said perfection. Thank you. The mark is perfection. Missing the mark, that is sin. I didn't make it. And God knew it wouldn't. So he sent somebody that would. Right. Slain from the foundation of the world. God manifest in the flesh. Come himself. The angel told Joseph, said, hey, it's going to be all right to take her as a wife. She's never known a man, but he's going to be born. You're going to call him Jesus. He's going to save his people from their sins. It required perfection, which none of us as human beings are capable of producing within our own life. You'll never be perfect. You'll always be too fat, too skinny, too tall, too short. You'll always be left or right. You'll always have a problem. There'll be things that stump you in this life. You'll make people mad. People will hurt your feelings. There'll be things that you want to crawl under a rock and die over. There's going to be all kinds of issues in your life. But blessed be the name of the Lord. The King of glory, Jesus the Christ, came. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. I'm accepted in the beloved. It's revealed in him. Required perfection. It's revealed in Christ. John saw him come walking down the riverbank that day and said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He became sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Here he come. He took it on him. He took the leprosy. Brother Gordon taught us in Sunday school this morning. He took the fever. He took the problems. He took our iniquity. He took our stripes. He took, he was bruised for our iniquity. I'm telling you, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes were healed. He took all these things. You know what he is? He's the payment for sin.
Amen.
He's the payment. What if someone... Now this is so foreign to us that we can't hardly even get a grip of this. What if we was lined up against a wall and the firing squad was before us, and someone just walked up there and pushed you out of the way and said, I'll do this for you. I'm reminded of an old story that just came to my mind. I've told it 100 times. There's a missionary who went to an island. On this particular island, the people had no issues. They didn't think they had sin. They didn't think they had problems. He was trying to teach them about Christ. And the way they chose their ruler was this. They chose it by two means, the wisest man or the strongest man. Either one would qualify you to be the king of this particular tribe or the chief. And so they came And the missionary was observing these people, and he said they just lived in harmony. It was, he said, I'm telling you, it was pretty nice. It was, he said, it wasn't Eden, but it was close. And everybody got along. They loved each other. He said, didn't seem to be no issue. And said, one day somebody come to the chief and said, I've got stuff missing out of my hut. He said, there must be some mistake. No one steals around here. Said, I'm afraid he has. He said, here's what's going to happen. This particular chief was the wisest and the strongest. He said, here's what's going to happen. When we find them, they're going to get 10 lashes and they have to return what they've taken. They never found them. Time kicked on a little bit and said it wasn't long and said somebody come to him and said, hey, said there's something going out of my tent or my hut. Someone stole my stuff. It's good. It's done. And they couldn't believe it. The whole place is just in chaos over somebody stealing. They couldn't believe it. He said it's going to be 20 lashes for whoever they find. One night, they was having their big get-together and said, somebody come running to the chief and said, the thief's been caught. He said, oh, yeah. They've been caught. He said, bring them forward. The crowd began to part and silence fell on the tribe. And when they brought her up there, it was his own mother. They said, there's no way he's going to give her 20 lashes. It'll kill her. The king said, or the chief, tie her to the pole. They took this little thieving woman and tied her to the pole in the center of the complex. He said, bring out the executioner. The guy comes out with the whip. He's standing there. The little woman's tied to the pole. The king said, I said 20 lashes would be given, and 20's what's going to be given. He said, hold on before you give the lashes. The chief stood up and dropped his robe. He walked over and put his hands on the pole over that little woman. He said, you let the whipping begin. And 20 lashes was laid upon the chief who shielded his thieving mama from the punishment that she surely deserved. I'm going to tell you, that's what the Lord done for us. He hung on Calvary. The Lamb of God suffered, bled, and died that I didn't have to go to hell. I may sin and have punishment and chastisement in this life, but I'm telling you, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony, I'm not going to die and go to hell because he took my punishment on Calvary. So now, Bible said the fool mocks at sin. Verena, come to the piano. We'll get a song in a minute, Brother Randall. The fool mocks at sin. How's yours today? Bow your heads and she's going to play.
Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.